Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Hi, Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Don't we sound good?
I don't know. I sound fine. I'm not so sure about you.
We sound good, trust me.
Is that because you got your new microphones?
That is because I got my new microphones. And do you know how I got my new microphones?
I'm going to guess you probably ordered them from someplace or you held up a microphone store.
The latter. It was great. I shot three people and killed a child.
See, that's how you do shit in America today.
No, actually, I got my microphones thanks to the people that listen to this show.
How so?
Because they went to adamandeve.com and used the promo code STATIC when they checked out.
Oh, my God.
But it's actually kind of a cool deal because not only do you help us out and not only do we get new green and gold penises, which is basically what these microphones are, but we all you
now,
also
now I feel weird sticking the head of this thing in my mouth.
Yeah. Well, don't stick it in your mouth. Trust me, they don't work that way. You'll sound really bad. But they get three free adult DVDs.
Okay,
half off one of their items. Which, I mean, come on, how great is that?
Getting a dildo for half price.
That's right.
That's good.
You're already half in the bag, and they get the three free adult DVDs, half off the item, free shipping. So you're not even saddled with those costs.
And? Free mystery gift.
A free mystery gift. I still haven't gotten... I've gotten a couple of listeners that have sent kind of smart alecky answers. You know, because we always say if you use the promo code...
Oh, no, I've gotten real people that have said, okay, this is what we got. One guy got penis enlargement cream.
Woo!
And then... Did you see what a listener did to Jared Foyles on Radiodrome?
No, what's that?
They used the Drome code and then had the item sent to Jared's house, so they basically bought him the DVDs and everything and had it sent to his address.
How cool would that be?
Using his own code. So not only did he get them for free, he gets a cut of the ad revenue.
How nice.
From that. That's pretty cool.
That is. That's...
So the only reason I'm bringing that up is... I'm kind of angling for
You're
static fans.
You're
kind of
angling
fans.
For static fans to do yeah. that? Yeah, I don't blame you.
You know, our address is not all that hard to find. Look on the old It Came From Me on Midnight videos. It's clearly listed there.
Well, that and all they have to do is...
That we use our real names, too.
Yeah, the fact that we use our real names. But I also got some words via Facebook. Number one, somebody asked me for an autograph. I think they sent you a message, too.
They asked me as well. Neat. And you being a coward sent them to my address.
Okay. To be fair, that's by Dawn's request. I wouldn't care if I were living alone and all of that, but Dawn doesn't want our address out there because it's so... That's why we're using your address.
I know. And I got no shame.
But I also have another listener who is sending us, and actually by the time this airs, it may have already arrived, but they want to send us some artwork and some other things that I'm looking forward to.
Yep, you told me about that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing, and that, again, just let us know if you want to send us something, and I'll give you Josh's address.
Pretty much what it boils down to.
Yeah, let me know what if you want to stalk Josh or anything like that, then I'll give you his address.
Hey, I'm game. I'm game if you are, listeners. That's going to blow up in my face, isn't
it? We're the only two people in the world where a stalker would actually improve our social life.
Pretty much. Especially
yeah,
where I am.
No more mic hum. These are a little bit lighter than the other mics, and it's due mainly.
And look, I'm wiggling the cord, and it's not making that...
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. They are brand new MXL V67Gs, and I love them. I really do. I was actually able to get three brand new microphones, so if we have any in-studio guests, they'll have a mic on their own.
That actually kind of ties into our topic. Our topic tonight is, since you and I are the same age, we can speak of this pretty unequivocally from our point of view, how much technology has advanced in just our lifetimes, coupled with the fact I also want to at least spend some of this episode analyzing how much technology did not advance that people thought it would.
Yeah, that's it's surprising.
And I want to leave out like the retro future stuff that we've already discussed, no, that's like fine. The Jetsons that's and fine. Blade Runner. But that.
You know, there were always ever since automobiles hit the ground, people looked at them and went, "How do I make this thing fly?"
Well, see, so, what actually prompted this whole thing was, have you ever seen the movie The Class of 1999?
No, I haven't.
Okay, it's actually a sequel to The Class of 1984. The Class of 1999 was made in 1989, so it was set in a whopping 10 years in the future, which is something I've always had a problem with. You know, when movies set themselves only a couple of years in the future, like Predator 2 was made in 1990 and takes place in 1997. Strange Days was made in 1996 and takes place in 1999. Yeah. Then why even bother setting it in the future if by the time the goddamn video comes out, you're already past.
Yeah.
But so in Class of 1999, so made in 89, it's about cyborg teachers in like war zone schools. Okay.
Okay.
And at one point, one of the teachers, or one of the cyborgs, is trying to, you know, they're presenting themselves to the school board, and he goes, "I'm run on 1 million megabytes of memory." And I just blurted out laughing, going, "My God, 1 million megabytes? That's nothing today."
That's what it...
It's not even a terabyte, I think.
Yeah,
I
it's might not, be wrong. Not quite a terabyte, because... A terabyte is 1,024 gigabytes. A gigabyte is 1,024. So, yeah, it's just under a terabyte.
So I'm just thinking, in 1989, did we really think 1 million megabytes would be enough to run a fucking totally independently thinking, independently rationalizing cyborg? Or not even cyborg. I used the wrong word. Android?
Android.
It's okay. An android. I used the incorrect word. A total artificial person.
So... Well, you know, and again, that just harkens back, and it always makes me laugh when I see predictions for the future from anyone, because I'm like, how long until that is proven wrong? Let's go back a little ways to the, 70s or 80s, 70s, I believe this was said by Bill Gates, of 640K should be enough for anyone to do anything.
Bill Gates has said he actually never said that, and that... I recently read an article that USA Today did in 2005. They can't find any truth to that statement.
Okay.
So that quote's all over the place, and I know exactly what quote you're talking about, so I'm not insulting you or throwing a shot your way.
Right.
But that quote has kind of been disproven.
So probably misquoted, but still, nonetheless, it's out there, and I have no doubt that in 1983, people believed it. I mean, 640K was... shit ton of memory back then. So
recently, Screw Attack did a video game vault on Duke Nukem 2.
An excellent, excellent video game.
But they said, do you realize that Duke Nukem 2, being a PC game, the entirety of this game ran on, take a guess how big of a file it was?
Let's hear it.
It took up three discs.
I was going to say three floppies, if I remember right, which... probably 10 meg?
6 megabytes.
6 megabytes.
For the entire game. And as Craig pointed out in the video, he says the flash drive he has in his pocket could house almost 7,000 copies of Duke Nukem 2 on it. And yet that was a powerful game when that came out.
And interestingly, that switch between Duke Nukem 2 and Duke Nukem 3D was the perfect view of the paradigm shift in gaming. But we're getting off topic.
That actually might be next week's topic.
Yeah, definitely. But you know, remembering back, my very first computer that was my own was an Apple IIe.
It was pretty much everybody's from our generation. That was your, pretty much some, your first.
Apple IIe, Apple IIc, Apple II Plus, depending on when you got into the deal. A lot of people had the Commodore 64 was extremely popular.
Unless you got an Apple III. What a fucking train wreck that was. I mean, tech support actually told you that when it overheated and the chips popped out, to actually pick up the computer and drop it on the ground to reseat the chips. Imagine that. Have you tried picking it up and dropping it? That's some brilliant tech. You know, people give Apple all this credit, but they don't realize that, guys, Apple wasn't always this genius company that they're seen as now.
Definitely. Okay, getting used to new mics time. Turn yours
Am
to
I
the,
fucking around?
Well, I don't have windscreens for them yet, so you're popping a little
I'm
bit.
Sorry.
So yeah, turn it sideways so that it's not in front of your mouth, and then put it like right beside your mouth in the car to ride over. I'm sorry, a little bit of inside baseball. If you're ever popping on a microphone, just move it.
A derp a der.
Okay. But yeah, looking back, I had this Apple IIe. I had this game called Miner 2049er. And if anybody's played that game, they know that it's a great little game.
Did you have the green screen Apple?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It came with the green monitor. I had no idea that the games I owned were in color until I got an emulator on my computer. And
you
I
mean
played it and I'm
green?
Like,
they're not green and like, white and black?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's no white. It's green and black, period. End of story.
So it's sort of like a green version of the Virtual Boy.
Exactly. And you know, I had no idea that these games were in different colors until I got an emulator for my computer. Of course, people that remember the green and black remember the yellow and black or gold and black screen that predates even the green. So, yeah, it's...
Well, okay, let me ask you a question then.
Sure.
And I want an honest answer.
Sure.
In, say, let's say 1983, since you brought that up that year with the Bill Gates thing.
Okay.
Could you have ever seen being able to do even what we're doing right now?
Never.
On a home computer?
Never. Well, I'm the wrong person to ask.
All right, then let me ask the audience. If you guys, assuming you were alive in 1983, would you have seen something like a podcast or downloading video or torrents or anything like that possible, or was that literally science fiction at that point?
I'll give you this answer. I can tell you that my dad, who is just as much into computers as I am, probably even more so since he was an electrical engineer prior to being a doctor. He never would have guessed it. He and I kind of had the same attitude where we were both hopeful. We both had this optimistic view of the future, and so we kind of saw. We hoped that we'd end up doing stuff like this. And we hoped that we'd end up with computers that can do the stuff that computers can do today. But did we realistically see it? No. I just knew that I could play Karateka and I'd be happy.
Well, how about going somewhat the opposite way? Do you think technology has advanced far beyond where you think it could have gone? Like, let's go back to the early 90s. Do you remember the Philips CDI?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that was probably, and I'm probably going to get tarred and feathered for saying this, because the system was shit, okay?
Yes.
But it was really ahead of its time to go, in 1990, this thing can do everything. Play music, look at photos, watch movies, you know, that this one box can do everything. The problem was the technology did not work to the specifications that the idea did. In a way, that was a very, very ahead of its time system, and it also sucked ass at the same time.
It was a neat little machine that did a lot of very interesting things and was an interesting little footnote in history, but it never met user expectations. It never lived up to its own. Do you remember the old CDI infomercial that used to run?
Yes, the one where the guy's talking to Wall, and then that chick that looks like she should be in a porn video named Help.
Yes.
Numerous people have said that I'm not being facetious on that. They're like, I swear I've seen her in porn.
I don't know.
I wouldn't put it past the fact that she probably had done porn after the CDI flopped hardcore.
It's possible. But, that set the expectations that set versus what you actually got when you unboxed the stupid thing
for $700
was ridiculously overblown and over marketed. This is precisely how the CDI would have won, is if it went the way of modern Blu-ray players. You have the apps, that you can install. I'm going to say not real high-end, but upper-end Blu-ray players. You have apps that you can install in little app stores, and a modern Blu-ray player can do everything that the CDI used to do just as quickly. Or should I say just as slowly.
But you're also talking about the difference between 1991 and 2012.
Right.
There's a big technological leap.
There is a huge technological leap between there, but anywho, but yeah, you're watching that CDI, and if you watch the infomercial and you didn't know anything about the machine, this thing was amazing. Everything you wanted to do in one box in your living room.
Yep.
Convergence. You remember a couple of podcasts ago I talked about Convergence?
Radio shows.
Right there. Right there it is. Well, we're on iTunes. We're technically a podcast, too.
We're a radio show first. You know that bugs me when you say podcast.
Yes, it does, but it's habit, my friend. But yeah, if you knew nothing about the machine, this thing was amazing. And it was everything you wanted it to be. It was your game console. You could watch movies, everything like that. And we look at it now and we go, man, what were they thinking?
Yeah, at the time, that was just, I went, oh my God, I can never afford this, but this is so awesome. I want one.
Exactly.
And then it didn't hurt that they had, not for the infomercial, but their commercial pitchman for commercial television, Phil Hartman.
Yeah.
He was the CDI pitchman.
Yeah.
So that didn't hurt that, hey, that's the guy from Saturday Night Live. He's really funny.
Or in my case, hey, that's that guy from News Radio.
News Radio didn't exist when the CDI was on.
I know, but...
When looking back, it's the guy from News Radio. Or, hey, you know what I was always, in retrospect, because obviously The Simpsons was new, I kept expecting, you know, Troy McClure to be hawking the CDI. You might remember me from such infomercials as...
Exactly.
I always expected Troy McClure to pop out.
But, yeah, looking back again, sitting with my little Apple II and popping it open versus popping open the machine that I've got sitting behind me, which is, I'm happy to say, I've ordered some parts for
that's
him.
He's pointing to his old dead computer, which if you remember earlier episodes, he threw a fucking fit over losing.
Yeah. But I'm luckily going to be able to save some data off that thing before the hard drive completely fries. You look inside this versus looking inside that Apple II. The Apple IIe was incredible. It had, first off, it was the one with the keyboard and the computer kind of all in one, and then the monitor sat on top of that, and then we even had a couple of 5 1/4 inch floppy drives, and man, when we got our second 5 1/4 inch floppy drive, the ability to copy disks without having to switch them back and forth, oh, it was amazing.
or to be able to play a game, because this is something that, I mean, I know we keep coming back to video games, but video games are one of the reasons that the tech moves forward, but people need to realize games in that era, when you're on a PC, it wasn't like playing an Xbox 360 game where everything's chronological.
Right.
You'd have to put the floppy in, get to a certain point, and then it would say, like, insert disc 3.
Or flip.
Yeah, and then you'd go and pop it out, put the next one in, and then you'd play for 2 minutes and insert disc 1 again.
Yep.
That's the way it was. You were constantly switching discs. Younger people are not going to know that if we don't point that out.
Well, this, again, was prior to hard drives. And hard drives were amazing when they came around to me because... Not only do I not need to switch discs so often, I don't even need a disc. I just start it up and there it is. Neat.
I found an old computer of mine.
Okay.
Windows 95. It had 1.4 gigs of hard drive space. I just went, how in the fuck did I ever survive on 1.4 gigs of hard drive space?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a 600 gig that I keep having to delete stuff off of because there's too much shit on it.
And I've got my little 5 terabyte over there that's now about half full and filling up quickly.
Yeah, so it's like, I can't believe that. I used to be happy with 1.4 gigs, and I was going, oh my God, it's got over a gig of storage space.
Here's another switch that I think we're going to see in our lifetime talking about storage. There's quite a few tech journalists that are really big on cloud and cloud storage, which is storing everything that you need locally out there in the internet somewhere, whether it's through Apple's...
Out into the ether.
Yes, out in the cloud, out in the internet cloud, whether it's through Apple or some other cloud service that comes along. There are a lot of tech journalists who are really big on that and are saying that eventually computers aren't going to have hard drives at all. They're just going to be dumb terminals that connect to the internet and everything you get, you use through there. I'm not quite so bully on that one. I like my hard drive. I like my local operating system. I like the fact that I can unplug the internet and still do a lot of stuff.
And yeah, you can be self-sufficient. Your computer exactly. can be self-sufficient.
And I think people in general, I think I'm hoping that a lot of listeners still feel that way. I don't think we're quite moving to the internet terminals just yet. But that could be another switch that we see, at least when dealing with media, when dealing with music and movies and stuff like that. Somebody that, again, makes it cheap, easy, and simple to do.
Well, it also goes back to, and like I said, I know we're not going to go back to the retro future, but remember that old IBM, I think it was IBM commercial we played? The old one narrated by Tom Selleck where, you know, you go to the airport and you log into the terminal and you got all your information there and all that. We still don't have that. And that was in the 90s that they said, this is coming and it's very soon.
We kind of had that. We kind of have that with the e-ticketing and electronic check-in and stuff like that. Do you know what killed that idea?
Piracy?
No.
Because that's what, according to Congressman,
everything is killed by piracy. But it was the TSA and hype. Overly hyped up security and stuff like that. And by the way, if our listeners ever get a chance or if they're in countries other than the US, go to the airport. I have a friend of mine who's Australian and he came into the US and it was ridiculous trying to get him through customs and into the country. And then even getting him out of the country, going through things when he'd have to take off his shoes and basically stripped down and everything like that on an international flight. He said when he got back to Australia, he was going to fly from one end of like Melbourne to Perth or something like okay. that, but across the country.
Continent,
and I'm sure with my luck, Melbourne and Perth are like 30 miles away, but
I know what you mean.
You understand.
From the west side to the east side of the continent.
He was flying across the continent and he got to the airport and he started taking off his shoes and the Australian security looked at him and started laughing. He went, you spent time in the States, mate. And yeah, don't worry about it. Come on through.
Keith Olbermann pointed out a while ago that, speaking of airport security, the Israelis, they have far, far less evasive security procedures. And since they started implementing those, they have not had one attack on Israeli soil, you know, based out of an airport or anything like that. Yeah. So
we're way off topic.
Yes.
But well, let's take a look at tech at the airport. Because I remember when I was young, I flew a lot doing balloon competitions and stuff like that. I flew internationally quite a bit and I flew across the country every now and then. And plane rides were hell. Not quite as hellish as they are today, but they were still hell. Because I had nothing to do with my seat. So you would
God forbid you don't have your iPod.
I had nothing to do in my seat. An iPod didn't even exist. My speak and spell was a blessing, but a curse to everybody around me because they had to listen to it go.
How about just reading a book or a magazine?
Dude, I was six.
A comic book. Reading the newest adventures of the X-Men then.
But yeah, that's what I would end up doing is either reading a comic book or coloring, or I always had these activity books. You pick them up everywhere, little activity books. And so I did all of that, and Mom would make up games and stuff, and the stewardesses would come by with the little captain's hat and the little wings because that's what you did for kids. And it was fun, but I look now and I look at the airplanes now, and it was always a big deal back then on a long flight when I would see the screen roll down from the ceiling.
Showing a movie!
Exactly. And it was amazing. The screen would roll down and the little projector would drop out of the ceiling and wow, you know, I'm watching a movie on an airplane. Now we've got the in-seat entertainment center. You've got iPods, iPads, laptops, all of this stuff, and I look around, and I'm like, you bastards.
Well, do you remember this from the airport, this piece of tech? No, I have not flown since I was like 3 or 4, but I've had to pick up numerous people at airports. So sometimes you get there early or the flight's delayed. I remember this back in the early 90s, so I don't know if they had these in the 70s or whatnot or even later, but do you remember remember the desk you had at school, how the little, you know, table flopped out in front of you?
Yes.
They had these things, but instead of that desk, there was a television, and you would put 25 cents in.
Oh, yes.
And you'd get 10 minutes of TV, and just flip through the local channels, and you just sit in this chair and watch TV for 25 cents.
I think there are still some of those at O'Hare.
I've not seen one of those.
I haven't seen one of those
since I got out of high
school.
But I remember doing those. You just find some old movie at 3 in the morning and, you know, a quarter for 10 minutes. I got nothing better to do.
Yeah, and my flight leaves in 15. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I remember those very, very well. Of course, now, if I ever get you to the Detroit airport, which you may be thinking it's Detroit, there's no way, but it's a decent hub and it's one of the best.
Is it run by OCP?
No, but it's one of the best airports in the States right now. But you walk in and there are these gigantic flat screens running the news and the weather, and then you look down and there's this little advertising kiosk, and you've played Mass Effect. You know the advertising kiosks when you walk into the station.
The ones that are kind of targeted towards you. Commander Shepard, you know, our records say you are running out of low on toothpaste.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got those things. Well, they're not quite targeted, but you walk by them and they're interactive ads. And I'm just like, and I used to pay a quarter for 10 minutes of local television stations, you know, and I've always been amazed at the leaps and bounds that technology have taken. And I think the older we get, the more involved we get, the faster this evolution is happening.
True. I want to bring up, now, on a What the Fuck episode, we once talked about, did you ever read the article? I know I sent it to you on the Newsroom Time Machine. Did you ever read that?
I remember looking through it. I don't think I ever read it in depth.
Okay, it was a brilliant article that basically, I can't remember what college it was off the top of my head, but they had all their journalism students put out the school paper for like 3 months. Using 1980s technology. They couldn't use computers. They couldn't use spell check. No iPods. No digital compositing. Nothing. Even the teachers, the ones who, you know, used to teach in the 70s and who have been there for 40 years, one of them was quoted as saying, I don't know how the fuck we ever did anything back then. He's like, I don't remember how to do half this stuff, and it's just so time-consuming now. You know, what would take 5 minutes in a modern newsroom takes us 5 fucking hours.
Well, I remember going, you know, I studied journalism, and going to classes, and we had that layout class where you had the red film that you would always cut out and put over the light box, and we worked out the whole layout of the school paper over the light box, and then we took that proof and we sent it to the printer, and it was a big deal. And if you weren't in by deadline, you're screwed. And I was amazed at Quark's Express.
Is that like a print shop?
It's a publishing. It was a publishing software suite. And we had these Apple Macintosh machines, and I don't know what this was back when they were Macintosh machines and not, you know, MacBook Pros or whatever. And what was hilarious was the monitors for them were upended and extended. So there were widescreen monitors, but they were on their side so that they were tall, because that's how newspapers are laid out.
Right.
They're tall.
Well,
and it was, and I, you know, going back to UE recently, and taking a look at their stuff now. The dark room that I developed all of my photos in.
Nowadays, kids don't even
gone.
What's a dark room?
Yeah, it's gone. It's storage now.
In that newsroom time machine, they couldn't find a dark room anymore because they didn't have anyone. they had to cordon off the woman's bathroom and use that because there were no. You know, they actually had to tape up like the red Christmas lights around the side for the red lighting, and that was the only place they could find that didn't have windows.
Well, and I used to be able to take an entire film reel, and they talk about being able to do this still for when they're making movies, when they shoot on film, walk into a completely dark room and change out a film reel in total darkness.
Right.
I used to be able to do that, given it was on a smaller scale because it was with a still camera, right. But I don't think I could now. But I remember just getting it down. It took me about 3.5 seconds.
Well, let's go back to video games for a second, because like I said, video games were always the ones that seemed to be on the cusp of pushing the technology. Do you remember the Phantom system? If you don't, nothing wrong with you not remembering the Phantom, because it was what its name implied.
It was vaporware. Happened. It was vaporware. That's right.
Well, the Phantom was going to be basically like you buy like an Xbox 360. You buy that system. You hook it up to the internet. And by the way, this is like 1993, 1994 internet. And then everything would be done via the internet. You would download the games to the hard drive and you'd play them off the internet. It'd be their big thing. No discs, no cartridges.
Well, the Sega Dreamcast did that.
Sega Dreamcast had discs.
Well, yeah, it had discs, but it also had an online. It was one of the first functional online gaming services.
Which is so funny. Like, even today, go back to just the PlayStation 1. Let's not even count the Sega CD in this, okay? Because that was only a 1X drive.
Sure.
The PlayStation 1, just try playing Resident Evil. The load times. My God, you could get up, go to the bathroom, and get a soda and come back between load screens.
Okay, that hasn't gotten better.
In some cases, it has. In some cases, it hasn't. Yeah. But you know, that's one thing that I can't believe they didn't get better was the fucking load times. Yeah. I'm looking at you, Mass Effect 2. I love your game, but good God, those load times are hell.
Yeah. Even installing it on the Xbox hard drive.
It only cuts like 10 seconds off the load time.
So, but yeah, that stuff is, looking back through gaming, I've always been amazed. You know, we talked in our outdated tech episode about PDAs, and one company that got its start and that I remember its little graffiti writing system was Palm.
I remember that, yeah.
And the PDA and the little graffiti writing system.
And it would
system,
never read correctly because of the person's handwriting.
Yeah, and you, well, that was when it tried to do straight handwriting recognition. It would never, ever get it right. They had this specialized, basically it was a system of glyphs that you could do letters without writing, without lifting the little pen, and it had the little spaces below the main screen where, for instance, to make a capital H, it was a line here, and then you'd come back up to the middle and go across, but you wouldn't bother with the third line of the H, it would just go H. And that was, I could probably still write in graffiti if I wanted to.
Well,
But looking back then, talking to my dad, they were amazing. They were the best that they could get, and they weren't going anywhere. And now where is Palm? It was sold to HP, and it's going away.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at music storage. In the 70s, nobody could have even dreamed of something like a compact disc. You know, it was records and tapes were that new thing.
Cassette
tapes, and you know, you had 8 tracks in that.
I was going to say cassettes were the middle ground.
8-track was always a shit system. That was always a shit format. I'm sorry if you're going to try and defend that to me.
I'm not.
Okay, because that was a shit system. You couldn't even fucking rewind in those things.
I know.
No, 8-track was. It was the only thing about that was it was portable. That's why you had those in your car because you couldn't play your record in your
exactly.
car. Exactly. But you know, let's take from when we were born in 75. Let's say we were teenagers in 75. Could we have ever seen, not let's leave out MP3s or things like that, but a fucking compact disc, the whole album, both sides of the record.
On one,
you on don't have one to flip disc. It. You don't have to flip or anything. You know? Am I the only one that just, I don't know. It just, technology moves so fast. Sometimes it seems like science fiction. Like a perfect example, my wife was watching a Cold Case episode the other day. And some kid got shot, and then, you know, it was like 1986 or something like that that the past part took place in. And they're like, well, who called it in? They said, well, it was called from a payphone like a block away. He goes, why a payphone? And then they all looked at this younger guy. They go, cell phones were science fiction in 86, you idiot. You know, just he just took for granted. Well, why didn't he use his cell phone?
Yeah.
Because we didn't have them then.
You know what I think we should call this episode?
Rambling?
Damn you, kids.
Speaking of that, did you see that insult that you and me on the Radiodrome you guest starred on not too long ago?
No, I didn't.
Some guy said, why does it seem whenever Scott comes on the show, the entire hour is spent talking about how much things used to be better?
Oh, now that... Yeah, I did see that, and it wasn't.
Because that's basically it wasn't what static
whenever,
is.
You know, it wasn't whenever Scott comes on the show. He said, "Why is it when Scott comes on the show, Josh seems to constantly talk about how much better things used to be?" And I believe my reply to that one, and this was on Brad's site, if I remember. Yeah, I believe my reply was, "You ought to hear him on Static."
Well, because I'm one of those people that, weirdly enough, I really do think things used to always be better. But
Yes and no. I still remember my parents had back in the day one of those big console record player in the middle, you know, record player stereo
with the speakers
built in. Yep. And it was a beautiful, gorgeous piece of furniture, this four-legged thing. And when you weren't throwing a party, you could close the lid and boom, you'll have a buffet, you know. But it sounded, and it was a tube system, vacuum tube. So I remember Dad being annoyed that he would have to come home and turn it on and sit and wait for it to warm up.
In old order TVs, to, you know, kids that are even younger, kids even, you know, when we were kids, we didn't have the TVs that had to warm up unless you were really using an old model. But like our parents, you know, when you turned a TV on, you didn't just get the picture. The picture slowly brightened as the TV warmed up.
Yep. But at the same time, those old tube systems sound so warm and so wonderful. I will give them that.
They sound more, for lack of a better term, natural.
They sound less digital.
Yeah.
As part of it, you get the full wavelength instead of samples like you do on MP3s. Well,
see, like, and I'm CDs, one of those people, and I will fight motherfuckers on this. I really do think LPs sound better than CDs. You take the exact same song and play them for me. I prefer the way the LP sounds over the way the CD sounds. The CD sounds, and I know this is a contradiction, too clean.
Any audiophile will agree with you. And yeah, well taken care of vinyl. Well taken care of, and I can't stress that enough. Yeah, well taken care of vinyl does have a warmer sound to it, and it's a little bit nicer. But I remember this old system and really enjoying it. I also had a hamper full of it was like a kid-sized hamper, basically, full of Disney records and the old Peter Pan records, and they weren't all Disney label, but they were a bunch of kids' records. And that was great fun. And I never imagined back then when I was listening to my Winnie the Pooh picture disc. Damn you, Mom, for selling that.
It's worth quite a bit. I've still got my Fox and the Hound picture disc.
Yeah. Mom, I think she sold off all my records in one great lot for $2. And I had a whole bunch of those picture discs in there. So
worth a lot of money today, bucko.
But I remember listening to these, and it never, ever crossed my mind. Or even as a teenager, when my sister was home from college at some point, we sat and we listened to for the very first time, and I realized that it was old even then, but for the very first time, I heard Pink Floyd's album Animals, which came on two records.
Four sides.
And
just try getting the Woodstock set.
Oh,
that's like six records, 12 sides, something like that.
Exactly. But I remember sitting with my sister in bed, and we were not of solid mind. I'll leave it that way.
Shroom?
No, not quite Smoke. That hard. Yeah. And we were sitting and enjoying it. And how much of a buzzkill was it to hear that? And you're like, we got to get up and turn the record over. And then when I end up in college and I'm sitting with my roommate, not of solid mind, in the dorm room, listening on the CD, going, I don't have to turn the record over. I can even just hit repeat.
Well, it's sort of the same thing with that was one of the complaints people always had about Laserdisc. Now, you remember, DVD does not exist yet. DVD won't exist for another, 15
but
or so
mid-movie,
years.
Mid-movie, you had to get up and flip the stupid thing over.
Right. But, and people ask, well, you don't got to do that on a VHS tape. Well, the VHS tape also isn't widescreen, isn't got digital sound,
and
doesn't
have
a commentary
track.
So yeah, the Laserdisc, I don't care if you have to get up halfway through the movie, it's still a superior format to VHS. There are some cases it's a superior format to DVD. I've seen DVDs that are lower quality than their Laserdisc counterparts, and you just go, I'll just stick with my Laserdisc. Fuck you if you're going to be like this then.
But I'm really looking, I think my deal with this episode is, some things were different back then. I don't know if they were necessarily better.
Well, didn't know better.
I was a kid. I had less to worry about in my life. I have very fond memories of back then because I didn't have bills to pay and I had tons of toys and my day was school and play and that's it. Hang on.
Okay.
But looking at what we had then versus what we have now, I am so looking forward to the future. I'm curious what the next shift is going to be, and I'm optimistic about it. I know
I'm not.
You're not. But I really am. I'm if and when I ever have children, what kind of tech are they going to see in their lifetime that was going to make them nostalgic for Blu-ray discs and MP3s and
the
iPads
beam into your brain shit
and stuff like that. But yeah, and what I want to see that next thing that will make them nostalgic for our tech, because my dad over the holidays, sitting with my dad, and we did sit and watch A Christmas Story, by the way, twice. And the reason we watched it is because that movie got one thing right. He says, I remember the late 40s, early 50s when I was about 10 years old, and looking around that house and looking at the stuff that they did, he said they got the world right. He said that if you watch A Christmas Story, he felt exactly how Ralphie felt, and he's about the same age as Ralphie in that. In fact, I think he is.
If you
the
were
exact
white,
same
if you
age.
Were white, heterosexual, male, Christian, then yes, the 1950s were a perfect time to
you
live.
You don't have to make a dick about it. But that's that's he looks at that house, he looks at those parents, and those were his, and he lost his dad when he was 12. So looking back and seeing this.
Very nostalgic.
Yeah, it's very nostalgic for him, and I just... I have to admit, more than watching the movie, I was watching his face light up with these memories.
Right. I can see that.
When talking to Dad about these tech advances, he goes, man, our washing machine was just like the one in the movie. It was a tub that kind of sloshed the clothes around in, and then you'd have to pick them up and really scrub them by hand and then run them through it again. And then it had a wringer on top that you would feed the clothes through two or three times. And he goes, that, looking now at my washing machine, how incredible that is. He goes, he put a calculus test in his washing machine the other day, and it came out correct. So he has one of those.
It can do math.
Yes, he has one of those uber expensive, incredible washing machines that
just, it's also an oven.
Yeah, you know, you do all sorts of stuff in this thing. And he goes, looking back versus looking at what we have now, I never would have imagined this world. And he looks at me and he goes, are you ever nostalgic for VHS? And I said, yeah, a little bit. He goes, what about records? I said, yeah. He goes, see, those are my advances. He goes, I'm nostalgic for sitting and listening to the wireless in the living room and turning it on. And,
all, and being creeped out by Inner Sanctum and the Shadow and shit.
Well, to be honest, I still listen to those shows and I'm still a little creeped out by a couple episodes.
Hey, do you know, I mean, we're not turning this into this episode, but do you know what is still to this day a creepy fucking radio show?
Linda.
Orson Welles' War of the Worlds.
Yeah, you're right.
That is still creepy today.
He says, you know, he remembers getting up and turning on the radio and then going and fixing lunch and eating a sandwich and drinking all of his milk and having a conversation with grandma and then coming back into the living room and then maybe 10 minutes later the radio will be warm enough for him to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, and just looking at the advancements over my father's lifetime and over my lifetime, I'm amazed and optimistic about the future.
I know I'm painting myself into a corner.
You're a terrified Luddite.
I like my past better than my future, and I don't know why. I do want to point out, I sent you something. Now, this quote has also been, quote-unquote, debunked, as we can't prove that this guy actually said this, but 1889, or is that 99?
99.
I can't tell on your screen. 1899, the commissioner of the U.S. Patent Office supposedly said, everything that can be invented has been invented.
Yeah, because that was during the switch over to the 20th century. And
but what, just imagine.
I mean, look at the Industrial Revolution that happened back then. Where could the world go in that mind? You know, there was no electronics. The jet age wasn't around.
That's what I'm saying. Just imagine what that must have been like in 1899 to go, we are at the absolute height of technology.
And then, you know, a short 4 years later, man achieves flight.
Which is why that statement, if it was true, is just all the more baffling. It really, truly is. That just everything that's been invented, because we all think that about our current era. When we were kids, we were thinking, it's never going to get better than this. Mm-hmm. Technology's never going to get better.
Walkman, yeah.
Yeah, the Walkman. I mean, literally, this was about 2-3 years ago. I bought some old Atari game. You know, like it was one of those ones where you plug it in and it's got, you know, plug it into your TV and it's got like 90 games on the
all in the Atari one little controller. Joystick, yeah.
Right. And, you know, I'm playing some of these and my son goes, I have better graphics on my phone. And you just kind of go, well, fuck you, you Weasley little shit. We were happy to get something that, I mean, do you remember how proud you were when you first played Super Mario Brothers, that you were for once playing something that actually resembled what a person's body might look like?
Yeah,
and not that dot is me.
I was going to say, you know, Super Mario Brothers 2 versus Adventure.
Yeah. And just imagine the leap that you were.
Someone get this duck away from me.
Or look at primitive CGI. Look at CGI, computer generated images in, say, a 1983 movie compared to even a 1993 movie. Just how advanced it got in just 10 years.
Well, yeah, look at Tron versus Lawnmower Man.
Actually, I think that one went, that example, it went backwards. Lawnmower Man looked like shit.
No, not at the time, though.
Even at the time, I had issues with those.
But geeks like me were looking at it going, ooh, wow.
And I was going, it looks like a crappy video game.
Yeah, but that was the pinnacle. You know, okay, check out. All right, fine. We'll use this example about the same amount of time apart.
Okay.
Lawnmower Man versus Toy Story. Is that a little better?
Yes. Because Lawnmower Man looks like shit. Toy Story doesn't. So you have these huge advances like that, or even to go way out of our lifetime, talkies to talk about movies. To go from actually being able to hear what the actors are saying on without having to read a card was such a monumental moment in television or in movies, to actually be able, or I just did it right there, in television too, to be able to watch something in your home and not have to go out to a theater and see it with everybody else. What a monumental leap in technology that was.
Okay, let me ask you this. What do you think the next monumental leap? I'm not going to ask you what it's going to be, because if we could predict that, we'd be billionaires.
We wouldn't be doing this show.
What do you think it's going to hover around?
I honestly think it's going to go back to an ideal from the 90s. But they're going to do it in a totally different way, and I think that will be virtual reality. But they're going to do it in sort of a like brain implant sort of way, because they're already starting to do things like that, altering people's mental states via the computer. They've already started to do that over in Europe, and I think that's where it's probably going.
I think
you watch a movie in your head.
I think that's going to be a step. I think that is coming, that what they call the direct brain interface.
Which I think is scary on multiple levels, by the way.
Yeah, it's frightening to me, too. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, I'd do it.
I wouldn't. You're not fucking with my brain.
But I don't think virtual reality is what you're looking for. I think
But it's the theory of virtual reality.
I think what's coming is augmented reality.
Okay, I'll give you that.
In other words, I'm going to be able to look at my dresser, and it's going to tell me what's in each of my drawers
It'll be like that scene in Fight Club where he's going through his apartment and there's all the little bubbles pointing to each thing, telling you like what it is and all that.
Or even more so, I'm going to go to a social function or a party or a picnic or something like that, and I'll look at you and Josh Hadley will pop up underneath you, and then maybe a little history of what we've done together and stuff like that. Things linking
to
us,
me,
pictures
that's
of the
creepy.
Past. And I'm looking forward to that because I have a horrible memory.
To me, I'm sorry, Scott, that's fucking creepy. You're getting into a creepy zone at that point, in my opinion.
See, and to me, it's out there. So I appreciate being able to use it. This, I pulled this out.
He's referring to a card, not what you're thinking.
Exactly. But
I just didn't like the way you worded it.
I'm sorry. But here, take a look at this.
AT&T prepaid phone card. Add more minutes at checkout. I remember these.
Oh, yeah.
I remember this. Or, I mean, remember 1010-220?
Oh, yeah. Well, that came out. This came out of, this was a card that was given to me in 1994. And that's why it's got all of the graphic on it is a very colorful kind of pseudo look of the old cordless telephones with the antennas that came out of the top, not wireless phones, cordless phones, with the antennas that extended. It's got a bunch of those kind of smiling along the bottom, and then the AT&T logo, Walmart at the top. But this was given to me when I was going off to college for the first time. At the end of 1993, 1994.
If you ever need to call home,
need to call home, here, use this.
That reminds me, we only got a minute and a half, but that reminds me, do you remember the day when if you're on the road, you're going somewhere and you get lost, you have to stop somewhere and go, can I use your phone at a gas station? Not, hey, whip out my phone, where you had to go looking for a telephone.
Exactly. Well, even at UE, we shared one phone for every two rooms on kind of a rotating thing. That you'd open up your little phone booth and if your neighbor was using the phone,
and you'd hope Doctor Who's not going to be needing the TARDIS anytime soon.
Exactly. But yeah, and that's what I want to hear from listeners this time. What is that next big shift? And I'm with you. I think that it's direct to brain interface if people are open to that idea, and I think augmented reality is the next step.
Well, and I think one of the big things, lostinthestaticshow@gmail.com, that people are going to tell us when they email us is we're really going to see the difference in answers between whatever country you're listening to the show in.
Exactly.
That's going to really tell. because Andrew, our friend in Serbia, technology is not quite going to be the same as the people who are listening to us in Europe.
And I'm horrible. You know how I am with names. But our friend that emailed us a while back from that grew up in East Germany.
Yes.
I would love to hear his, you know, when you live up in a grow up in a communist bloc. But we're running out of time. I would love to hear his interpretation of what big technology hit him.
Exactly. So we're going to say thanks for listening and use the promo code static at adamandeve.com.
We can use more mics.
Woohoo.